Hey Husker fans, it is another edition of the Pick Six podcast, the last stateside edition, at least for Sam here before he heads out to Ireland. I'm Evan with Sam, with Jimmy Watkins, and we're here to hang out for a little bit to talk some football, which is less than 2 weeks away. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to do a Husker football fantasy draft. We're going to talk biggest concerns, biggest confidences we have in this team, and maybe a starter or two who we think will cede that job to somebody else as the season goes on. So it's almost here. Like, football is almost here. We are days away from a game week press conference. Sam, you're going to be exploring the green country, drinking Guinness within a matter of days. How are you guys doing? Are you excited? Does it feel like football's here? Is it already here, or is it taking a long time?
No, I mean, it feels like August has moved fast. So special section will be in the paper on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that coming out. I'll leave on Monday morning from Omaha to Chicago. And then I do not fly directly to Ireland. I go to Munich, and then I go to Ireland. I go to Dublin. It's come up really fast. And, you know, the thing with these week zero games is you will not feel the extra week later on when you have a bye week. It just won't feel it. It'll feel like you feel it, but you really won't. It would be lovely to have that extra week and have the first game of the, you know, first game be in Ireland, you know, on the normal day, but that doesn't happen anymore. We're doing what we can. It's going to come up fast, and then we're going to be there for 5 days. It's a completely different place. Obviously, that goes without saying. And then we'll be back. And so long as they win in against Northwestern, the beginning of the season will begin against North Dakota. Like it'll feel that way. If they lose in Northwestern, it'll almost be like the end of the season. They'll have a lot to recoup. So I think for Nebraska football, they want to get there. They want to play well. I think they feel pretty good about where they're at. But simultaneously, I think, you know, the coaches and a lot of the personnel are just nervous, anxious, want to get it going, want to get it over with, want to play the game, want to get home. Like, and I get it. We're creatures of habit.
I feel like football season has taken a long time to get here. Maybe that's colored by the fact that I've been on the phone with my dad, who loves nothing more than to discuss the guy who was showing out in the third quarter of the preseason. My dad watches so much preseason football. It is nauseating. So I'm ready for the real football to get here. I should also mention that this podcast, at least on my end, is completely sponsored by Evan. I'm sitting in a chair that Evan gave me. My laptop is resting on a table that Evan gave me in my new apartment, and the lighting is coming from windows and a lamp that Evan also gave me.
We had a Jimmy drop off of furniture and different items last week. You moved into your sweet downtown digs there, and we had some extra stuff at our house, so that's good. I'm glad you're getting a chance to use that.
Evan sent me a text of a picture of stuff. He's like, could you use any of this? I was like, all of it. Bring it all.
Yeah, it was great. Any of this? All of it. Here we go. Speaking of all of it, we're going to have a comprehensive Husker football draft here. I'm excited for this. I don't know. Like, I like fantasy drafts anyway, and I like the challenge of sort of finding inefficiencies or putting things together by tiers, you know, as opposed to just who's the best player. There's sort of a strategy that goes into it. Do you want to break this down, Sam? This was kind of your thought.
If you wanted to add something to it, these were just my categories, but you can add to it, I guess, if you really want to. So the way I wanted to kind of score it as the season went on is we all get to use any of the Nebraska quarterbacks. It's not fair to have somebody pick Logan Smothers. And no offense to Logan, but you know, Casey Thompson. So we all get the points step there. Then we get to pick two running backs on the team, on Nebraska's team, two wide receivers on Nebraska's team, one tight end Now, the strategy here is that we're not going to just, like, if you want to pick Travis Vokolek, you can do that, but you may not get the receivers that you want. One defender, any defender, one running back on Nebraska's schedule for when they play Nebraska, and that's just one game. One quarterback on Nebraska's schedule for when they play Nebraska. So I assume we'll pick those last. The strategy, I think, is involved somewhere in the do you want to pick Vokolek or Whiteout? Or, you know, which is your number two running back better than your number two receiver? That kind of stuff. So that's kind of the strategy. If you want to add something to it, I suppose we can. But I thought that was fairly complete.
Yeah, I like it. I'm a huge fantasy football guy. I have three drafts coming up in the next 2 weekends. So this is a good tune-up for me. I'm very excited. Also, I'm not so sure that I'm taking Travis Vokolek first out of the tight ends. Just a spoiler alert.
Okay.
Do you have a draft order?
Not me.
Oh, a draft order? Yes. I can do that now. I'll go third, I guess. I'm on Zoom.
Are we snaking it though? Are we snaking it?
Yes.
Yeah, goes twice.
Yeah, you gotta snake it.
Oh yeah. So
might be the best.
I'm pulling up a number over here by the computer. Evan, is it even or odd? This will determine whether you go first or second. Is the number I'm holding up over here even or odd?
Even.
It is even. So Evan is first. Jimmy is second. I am third.
I got screwed.
We've got the Husker Fantasy Football Draft. We're going to start off with that. I assume we'll get to talking about Nebraska basketball's new coach and the recruit they got last week briefly as well, too. And if there's any other football topics you want to hit. This won't take that long, so let's zip on through.
Okay. I am going to take Travis Vokolek, number one, and because I don't know who else is going to be there, and you might get some big empty spots every week, so I'm going Vokolek.
This is a man who I think he's a fantastic leader. I think he's a great blocker. This is a man who's caught no more than 16 passes in a season.
That was a stamp pick right there, Evan.
During his college career. That's an impressive wow.
Again, he's not the best.
It takes a lot of guts. It takes somebody who's won a lot of fantasy football.
He's not the best player on the team, but who else do you feel good about? You guys are taking zeros each week in that category.
All right. I'll take Trey Palmer and see how many zeros I end up with.
Well, not from Palmer, of course. At your tight end position.
I don't think Travis Vokolek is going to lead the tight ends and receiving.
I've done this stuff so many times so many times in these things where I pick teams that I'm not really sure are going to win, but I want to spice it up. And Evan just spiced it up.
I hope there's a good interview. I hope Travis Vokolek gives you a good one-on-one for the honor you just bestowed upon him.
I'm not taking a kicker here. I mean, come on.
We got 16. Okay.
You got to project, kicker, man. Yeah, he was behind Austin Allen last year.
I guarantee you the kicker will score more fantasy points than Travis Vokolek. I guarantee it.
All right. Jimmy, it's your turn.
You said Palmer, right?
Yeah, I'm taking Trey Palmer, who should have been the number one pick.
And why is that?
Because he's the number one receiver, and we know that. We don't know anything, but he's going to be the number one wide receiver. He is the most known quantity on the team. If Mickey Joseph is okay with him, I'm okay with him. I don't have a ton of analysis here. Trey Palmer's the most dynamic athlete on the team. I think he's going to catch a lot of passes and score.
I don't disagree with you on that. I don't disagree.
Okay. My first pick is Ramir Johnson. Run, catch, maybe a little return. I still think he could be the kick returner. We'll see. But I do think he'll play quite a bit because I think he's going to be the guy where you're like, well, he knows the offense and he can run all the plays. So I'm going to pick Ramir.
PPR? We're doing PPR here.
PPR?
Points per reception.
Maybe half point.
Half point. Okay.
Half PPR. Yeah.
Yeah. I just mean that I think he's going to actually run the ball too. Like, okay. I think, you know, you put everything together and I think he'll end up, you know, yardage wise, he'll do well. And I think he'll score some touchdowns.
Are you taking him as a receiver or a running back?
As a running back.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then my number two pick is Anthony Grant. I would say that Anthony Grant is, I know there's a risk there, but I think he'll give us some kick return yards, and I think he'll be a pretty good running back for Nebraska. So he is a running back as well. My two running backs were Amir Johnson and Anthony Grant.
Sam, mirroring most of my fantasy draft strategies, I usually go two running backs right off the top. I need to snag one now then. I'm going Jock Ant. It's very encouraging that he still looks the same that he did in the spring this fall. I'm putting a lot of stock into the one pass catching setting that we watched of the running backs this fall, but he looked good during that setting. And I think that particularly with his size, I'm trying here. And I think that there's a decent chance that he'll get a high percentage of the goal line carries, which are very valuable.
Good thought, man. I like it.
I'm going to go run a running back run here. And I see five guys that I like, and there are six spots out there among us all here. So I better go Gabe Irvin. Starter last year, got hurt. He's coming back. I think he there's a lot of ways he can come onto the field. So I'm going to go Gabe Irvin. And I'm going to go AJ Allen as well. I think of all the freshmen, he's the guy who can get on the field. He's had a good camp. That's a guy who, especially if injuries crop up as the year goes on, I could see him coming in late and really being a league winner, as it were. So Irvin and Allen are mine.
Good picks. Running backs looking real dry right now. So I think I might dip back into the receiver well, and I'm going to take Omar Manning, who I believe to be the number two receiver on the depth chart right now. Another guy who I think could be productive near the goal line in the red zone, 6'4", 225. That kind of size lends itself to that. Another guy who we've been getting positive reports about during fall camp, a guy who we know has the talent, the former number one junior college receiver in the country, started his career at TCU, flashed some last year, has been inconsistent. This is another bet on Mickey Joseph being able to, nudge some consistency out of that room and Omar Manning. I'm going Omar Manning. I got two receivers now.
Somehow my video came back on. I was trying to put my low battery mode on. Okay, so Omar Manning is yours. So you got two receivers. Wow, that's pretty interesting. It's okay. My first receiver is going to be Isaiah Garcia Castaneda. I think he is healthy. I think he is going to play a lot of different spots along the field, and we haven't talked much about him. But I think he is a guy that could get 35 to 40 catches this season. It won't surprise me one bit if he's able to do that. I think they're going to throw the ball around the yard a little bit. I think this is a guy that they actually quietly trust to get the job done. And so Isaiah Garcia Castaneda. My other receiver is Oliver Martin. I think Ollie is a pretty quality deep threat. I think Trey Palmer is as well. I don't know about Omar Manning. I think his speed may limit him a little bit from being sort of the home run guy. So I feel like Trey Palmer, who Jimmy took, is one deep threat. And then I think Oliver Martin will be another guy that figures into the mix. So Oliver Martin and Isaiah Garcia Castaneda, the risk with both of them is injury. They've both been banged up over the course of their career, and so I'm taking a chance that they're both going to be healthy.
All righty. That leaves me. So I need to take a defender and a tight end. At tight end, I am taking Thomas Fedoni, who I know has been injured for much of this offseason, much of his time at Nebraska. I do believe him to be, I don't even think this is any sort of hot take, the most talented receiving option in the tight end room. And I think that once he is healthy, and it sounds like from what Becton was saying a couple weeks ago, he is going to be healthy at some point this year. Whether he stays healthy is another matter. But if he gets healthy and they're comfortable with where he is, comfortable with his knowledge of the offense, I think he immediately becomes the top receiving target option in the tight end room. So I'm taking Thomas Fedoni, bit of a risky pick, but I think at this point it's a pretty good value.
My next pick was the guy I think will be a top three receiver for Nebraska, and that's Marcus Washington. I'm thrilled that he fell to me at this point in the draft. That I'm going to take that as a value pick there. I think he could start potentially, depending on how things shake out. And my next pick, it's all about defender or receiver. I think we have a lot of depth on the defensive side, so I'm gonna go Alante Brown. I think he hasn't shown it on the field a ton to this point, but another year in the system, you hear about kind of the work he puts in behind the scenes. He seems like a guy who has some upside, even if he's not proven to this point.
So I'm up now. I lost track of the order of the three-man draft. Okay.
Yep, back to you.
I'm taking Braylon Allen, the one running back on Nebraska's schedule, who absolutely diced them up last year. This is a game that's going to be towards the end of the season. Nebraska's defenders up front might be a little tired. Wisconsin I pretty much trust them to have at least a pretty good offensive line every single year. They've rarely steered you wrong in that regard. And they're going to be a team that relies heavily on giving Braylon Allen the football because Graham Mertz is still somehow the starting quarterback over there. So Braylon Allen if we're deciding between defenders and defender's going to be my last pick. I just think that I don't know how we're going to score that, but that seems like the position that's going to score the fewest points. So give me Braylon Allen, give me 150 yards and a touchdown.
I would hope that over the course of a season, a defender scores more than one player in one game, but fair enough.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I think.
Maybe I didn't think that one through.
Yeah. They're not going to score as much, but I hope they would score. Man, you never know, I guess. Braylon Allen could go for, nine touchdowns or something. Have the Chris Brown or the, I don't know, whatever. I don't know, Monty ball game or whatever. Okay, moving on. Shut up, Sam. Okay, my pick will be Nate Borkircher, the tight end. I think he is going to be the number two tight end for the majority of the season. Chris Hickman's been a little banged up, and so I think Borkircher is going to be the number two guy until Hickman is healthy and Fedoni's healthy. So kind of a value pick there. I don't know if he's going to have more than 15 catches, but I'll feel like I'll get something out of it. And then I'll pick a defender, and I'll pick Luke Reimer. I think Reimer is the most active of all Nebraska defenders. Not that O'Shawn Mathis and Garrett Nelson won't get their share of sacks, but Luke will be kind of everywhere. I think he'll have an interception or two this season. I think he'll force a fumble. He'll do some damage somewhere in there. I will take Luke Reimer.
I'm sticking with the opponents here. I've even after recalibrating that we're only counting for one game here, I don't think there are a ton of great quarterbacks on this schedule. And I do think there's some depth still in the defender spot. So I'm going to take Aiden O'Connell from Purdue. They're going to sling it pretty much no matter what the game script is. And he's between him and Tanner Morgan. Tanner Morgan, I like actually Tanner Morgan as an option too, back with Kirk Sriracha, whatever his name is, as the offensive coordinator.
Sriracha!
But Aiden O'Connell, I've seen it more consistently. So give me Aiden O'Connell.
All right, you guys are, if I had my cue set with guys, you guys are taking them right off the top. So that's good on you. Maybe, hopefully. Torn on the defender, I think I'm going to go Tommy Hill just because of all that we've heard about him. He looks like he's got that starting corner spot pretty well set down. He's a returner too. I don't know if we're going to score return yards, but it sounds like he might factor in there as well. He's going to lock down somebody sort of like people talk about him like they talked about Cam Taylor-Britt last year. So that's intriguing to me. I'm going to go Tommy Hill as my defender. And quarterback, I'm going to go opposing quarterback who faces Nebraska. Like you said, Jimmy, there's not a ton of depth there. I'm going to go Dylan Gabriel, Oklahoma. I think that he's had a decent enough career, but there's so many weapons around there. I just feel like he's someone who's going to have a pretty good game too.
interesting. This is no longer Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma, but I like that pick. Spicy. Real quick, back to the Tommy Hill point. This is kind of, it's almost unprecedented for a guy this new, this young to be getting the kind of hype that he's getting. I mean, again, Evan and I were talking about this before we started recording. Travis Fisher said that Tommy Hill, this is his first year here, Tommy Hill could be the kind of guy who ends up getting his number retired in the stadium. He's been here for 3 months or however long he's been here. He's been here for not even a year yet, and we're already talking about him that way. So that to me stands out. I mean, I think you got to feel pretty good about where the corners are at right now. And I think, who was it? Chenander said he's got a chance to be special too. So very intrigued to watch him play in Ireland. I have a defender left. I mean, twist my arm. I'll take O'Shawn Mathis. He's going to put pressure on the quarterback, maybe a strip sack or two. He said that he'll have opportunities or something. I don't forget how he worded it, but he'll be dropping into coverage at times too to mix up the looks and put that stuff on tape for NFL teams. We don't know how good he's going to be at that, but that's an opportunity to me where a quarterback is so surprised that the best pass rusher on the field isn't pass rushing that he might just throw it into his chest and give him an interception, fumbles and all the rest. He'll be in the mix for that stuff because those things tend to happen near the line of scrimmage. So yeah, I think I got the best defensive player on the roster. I'll take it.
I got two left. They're both the opposing players. Opposing player number one will be a quarterback. That'll be Cade McNamara at Michigan. I actually think Cade McNamara is going to finish number two in the league in passing yards, so long as he can beat out J.J. McCarthy, which I think he'll do. Michigan's loaded. They are loaded with players. Their offense is going to be really, really good. I'm not kidding. I anticipate they'll be very tough to beat. And their offense will be especially good. I don't know how good their defense is going to be, which means their offense is going to be even better. And then I'll take Blake Corum as the running back. So I'll take two guys from Michigan when they play Nebraska. I think Michigan will win that game when they play Nebraska, and I think it'll be a lot of points. I think it'll be a 42-31 kind of game, and I think those two guys will put on a show. And now I'm going to leave you for a moment, and you guys can continue. I have to go get a charge cord, but I'll be right back.
So we went from before the show, we had Sam saying, start without me. And we didn't want to do that because it's a draft and, you know, it's kind of an organized thing. And I'm pulling the back curtain here. I don't love having like starting a podcast and like trying to like build the chemistry with one person. And then, oh, hey, here comes this other person. Even if we know they're coming, I don't love it. So now here we are playing the Jeopardy music. And, what do you want to talk about for this?
Well, finish out your draft. You got one spot left, don't you?
I do. I don't think I do. I think Sam was the last pick. What would I have left?
I have opposing running backs still to pick. So did you have had your defender, your tight end? Did you get your second?
Oh, I have another. Oh, I need another running back.
You didn't get your second running back.
Oh, my goodness. I need to peep the scholarship chart real quick. To get my, I'm thinking about taking, hold on, I'm pull up the scholarship chart real quick. Do, 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 do. All right. So people who've been off the board so far, Anthony Grant, Jack Hezian, Ramir Johnson, Gabe Irvin, AJ Allen. There's one scholarship running back left on the board. That's Emmett Johnson.
There you go.
No disrespect to Emmett Johnson. I think he's going to be, he has the chance to be a fine player someday, but I'm going to take Brody Belt because I think Brody Belt will be involved in a variety of ways. I can steal some tackle points on the special teams unit. I can steal some potentially return yards.
Two points.
If we're using defenders, if we're scoring the defenders, then I'm taking those tackles that Brody Belt accumulates on special teams. Okay. Get some return. A potential for if Brody Belt wins one of those return jobs, takes one of the house. He's a guy that, I mean, he saw some action at the end of last year. I think we all agree that said way more about the surroundings around Brody Belt than it said about Brody Belt. But I think Brody Belt will play has a much better chance of playing significant snaps this season than Emmett Johnson does. Again, no disrespect to Emmett Johnson, but this is a one-year vacuum type situation. So give me Brody Bell.
All right. My last pick, Mr. Irrelevant, who I don't think will be Mr. Irrelevant at all, is opposing running back. I'm going to go with Mo Ibrahim from Minnesota. Hurt last year, back this year, has been a bear to tackle for Nebraska for years. Minnesota's going to pound that ball. I think he could have a pretty good game there. I'm happy to take Ibrahim in that spot. So I'll recap mine. So my running backs are Gabe Irvin, AJ Allen. Receivers are Marcus Washington, Alante Brown. Tight end, Travis Vokolek. Tommy Hill's my defender. And then Mo Ibrahim and Dylan Gabriel are my opponents. And I feel good about that because I don't think I see any zeros in there. I see contributions across the board. So I'm curious how you guys see your rosters here.
I like my roster.
I do too.
Yeah. Okay.
I like it. I would have, definitely chewed on taking Marcus Washington instead of Oliver Martin, but we'll see. I think Marcus Washington and Omar Manning are similar players. So I guess we'll find out, but I like my roster. I've got Ramir Johnson. I've got Anthony Grant, who I think is probably going to be the number one rusher, could be, big time player. I've got Oliver Martin. I've got Isaiah Garcia Castaneda. I've got Nate Borkircher, the number two tight end, Luke Reimer. And then I've got two guys from Michigan who I think will be the best offense in the league.
Not bad. I've got at running back, I have Jacquez Yant, the Yant man himself, and Brody Belt. I have Trey Palmer and Omar Manning, both of whom I feel outstanding about. I have Thomas Fedoni at tight end, which is a bit of a risky selection, but I think has high ceiling potential there. My defender is O'Shawn Mathis. Nothing to dislike about that. And I have Braylon Allen and Aiden O'Connell as my opposing players. No qualms. I'm still reeling from Travis Vokolek at first overall. Still reeling.
And yet, okay. if I were framing this, I'd say Evan has a better team than you, Jimmy, because
you
could have picked Aiden O'Connell last and instead of getting that running back pick in there, and you.
All right. But the running backs were gone anyways. The Brody Belt Emmett Johnson decision would have been the same decision in the third round as it would have been in the last round. That's why I neglected. Fair. I actually forgot that I had a running back to choose while you were gone.
Love it. I love this. Okay, this is going to be fun to see as the year plays out.
Goes. Yeah, I'm definitely
figure out how score. To score defenders because yes. I don't,
Yes,
I don't know.
I unfortunately am a big enough nerd where I already play in a fantasy league where we have individual defensive players, so
oh, wow.
I
can help.
Jimmy's going to put a ton of weight on sacks.
Apparently,
a ton of weight.
And special teams tackles. So Brody.
Special teams tackles are like three times normal tackles.
Right.
They're so rare.
If Bill Bush was in our draft, he would be a fan of that.
All right. So let's turn the conversation a little bit here. So we're, like we said, barely a week out from football at this point. I remember a year ago we had this exercise that we're going to do shortly about something that we have the most confidence in with this team and something that we have the least confidence in. Now, I'm ashamed to say that a year ago, you can check the tape, what I felt most confident in was that special teams would get better for Nebraska, and it didn't happen. So, trying to learn from history here a little bit, but where do you guys come out just with the team at large? Let's start on the confidence side first. What do you feel the most confident in with this team, with all these new coaches, with all these transfers coming in? Where do you come down on the confidence?
I think Nebraska will be able to throw the ball short to intermediate range and in the red zone more efficiently than they did last year. I'm confident. Quarterback, play calling, receiver coaching. I think receiver coaching really matters. I think they've got a better receiver coach who's not going to put up with some of the stuff that I felt like happened at times over the last several years. And then I think they'll have some better red zone stuff. So I just think they'll be more efficient throwing the football around the yard. And short to intermediate. Deep, we'll see. I mean, Nebraska actually had a good deep passing game last year. Short to intermediate, I think they'll be better.
What do you got, Jimmy?
Yeah, let me unmute myself real quick. I'm going to go ahead and take the same dive that Evan took last year, and I'll say special teams will be improved. The specialists have changed, which is a big plus. I think that it, again, we'll just, I'll pay it the lip service. It is different for Brian Buscini and Timmy Bleakrode to kick or punt a ball inside a stadium where there are 70,000 screaming fans at you in high leverage moments, that neither one of them have done a ton of that. However, there is it's a man versus self position. If you can master that part of it, if you can hit your first three the right way, there's a good chance you're going to hit your next five the right way. And Bill Bush is a guy who has access to, like what Evan wrote in his story yesterday about Brian Buscini coming to Nebraska yesterday or earlier this spring and having some struggles with the consistency of his kicks early on. And I think it was Sam Cook, former Husker punter, former Ravens punter, now a Ravens special teams analyst, who told him, aim at the air nozzle, the little black circle that you put the needle in on the ball. Little details like that you weren't getting from Mike Dawson last year. You're getting that kind of stuff from Bill Bush, who has the resources to, even though Bill Bush has never been a kicker or a punter, he has the resources to help those guys if they get into a rut the way that Nebraska hasn't had so far during his tenure. And call me a sucker, but I'm buying the stuff about them pounding during special teams units, you know, guys getting pancaked. I do think we probably, as a media corps, have overdone the Bill Bush is telling us what time special teams meetings begin and what time guys are getting there. I saw another tweet about that yesterday. We started off, it was 20 minutes at this, or it was 15 minutes at the start of camp. Then it was 20 minutes. And then yesterday he made another comment about it where special team meeting start at 7:20 or 7:30. Guys are in there by 7:20. I don't care about that. What I care about is that there's clearly a team-wide emphasis. Special teams matter more, and it is to some degree a spot where you get out of it what you put into it. They've got a coordinator now. They've got position coaches and other coordinators who are dedicating time and resources to special teams as well. It's the first thing they do at practice every day. And I just don't think, like, it's some of that stuff is such small, simple fixes, as we've seen in the past. Small, simple fixes aren't so simple. Those details aren't so easy to master, particularly midstream during the season. But I think if you pound that into their heads before the season, as they're clearly doing now, as they've clearly been doing during the spring, it's not that hard to do the little things right if you're coached to do them right. So I'll give me the special teams.
Do the ordinary extraordinary, right? Okay. I'll give you one on the defensive side. I think Nebraska is going to be pretty good against the pass. I think, you know, part of it was illustrated in what we just went through with our fantasy draft, where I think the schedule sets up well, that Nebraska is not facing, at least on paper, a lot of high-level quarterbacks the way that they have in the past. I think there's a lot of depth in that secondary. We mentioned Tommy Hill, Quentin Newsome. There's three or four safeties that you can kind of go through to say this person could make an impact. And I think that the pass rush will affect that as well. It's I think, on pace to be, you know, their best pass rush since, what, 2014, 2015, when Randy Gregory was still around. And that's going to affect the back end of that too. Maybe not, you know, again, maybe their impact isn't so much in sacks with the pass rush, but maybe it's that quarterback pressure that leads to, you know, getting the ball out before they need to get it out. So I think those back two levels for Nebraska set up really well, and you can throw Luke Reimer and Nick Henrich in there too. There's just a lot of depth, a lot of institutional knowledge. I think that the pass rush will help set up a better pass defense than Nebraska's had in a while. How about on the other side? Concern, where do you feel like, there's probably a few obvious ones, but where do you start in terms of biggest concern for this team heading into the season?
being able to run the ball downhill with a running back, not having to overuse the quarterback, not having to cough up the court, you know, cough up the ball because the quarterback's running, finding a way to reduce the wear and tear and violence volume, so to speak, on a quarterback, you know. And that last phrase is just the idea of, like, you're going to have situations where quarterbacks are going to get hit and it's going to be violent, right? It hurts. It's football is a physical game. And so you accept that when you're a quarterback and you're in the pocket, you kind of know that's going to happen. You brace for it a little bit. But if you have too many of those really, really violent hits, especially when you're running downfield, it just takes a toll on you. And we watched it happen with Adrian Martinez. He just took hit after hit after hit. And, you know, he played valiantly through a broken jaw. I suspect he would have played better if he didn't have a broken jaw. So, you know, you figure all those things in there. And I think if Nebraska can run the ball downhill, protect its quarterback so that the quarterback only gets those really vicious hits three or four times a game, instead of 12 or 15, then I feel like you're just going to have a better team in November, and you're going to have a better team in October. And I feel like Nebraska has been really worn out by the time they get to the ends of seasons. You can tell they're still playing hard, but they don't have that same physicality to them. And I think some of that is because they have struggled to control a game by just handing the ball off to a running back and running downhill. They struggled to do it against Fordham, for goodness sakes. Last season, they couldn't run the ball on Fordham. It was a problem. In the first quarter against Illinois last year, they tried to run the ball without Adrian Martinez. They couldn't do it. They really struggled to run the football downhill without having to use the quarterback in the plus one game. You've got to find a way to do it and protect your QB so that your quarterback is a passer and he's distributing the ball. I'm just doubtful at this moment. They're going to have to prove it to me. I'm just not sure they'll do it.
Do you think the temptation's still going to be there, Sam, for Nebraska to run with the quarterback if they can't get that downhill running game going? New offensive coordinator, you know, doesn't have a history of running with the quarterback. Like, how drastically less do you think Nebraska's going to run with Thompson than they did with Martinez?
Ideally, you'd like to see him run the ball maybe 4 to 6 times fewer per game. So I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, it's a great question. I'm sure they would love to be able to. I don't think that Adrian ran the ball 10 times against Northwestern last year. So that was notable. But, you know, hopefully they can get through the first 3 games and Casey Thompson has 15 total carries. You know, that would be ideal. And they should be able to do that. The question is whether they can do it as the season progresses and whether they feel like they can trust it. And I think like that, I feel like they hit that quarterback's got a run button very, very readily in the Adrian Martinez era. He got hurt in the first game of his career. He got hurt multiple times in 2019, first against Northwestern and later against Purdue. In 2020, he seemed relatively healthy, but, you know, I think there was, you know, he got more surgery, I think, in the offseason. And then 2021, he got hurt almost, you know, right away. You know, he got hurt early in that year. Against Michigan State, he broke his jaw. So, you know, you can watch and see how his play was affected from that point forward.
I think, I mean, that's the by far bold print, 44-point font biggest concern on the team is the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball. So I won't parrot that. I will say this is not my biggest concern, but it is a small concern of mine. The transition from Scott Frost as play caller to Mark Whipple as play caller. The messaging on that has been, I think it's fair to say, inconsistent. At Big Ten Media Days, Scott said he was sad to give up the play calling duties. And he made it almost a point to say, like, he corrected a reporter, I remember, on the podium who had said, you know, you're not going to be calling plays. He was like, well, wait a minute. I'm still going to have my hands in the cookie jar a little bit there. Like, I'm still involved in the offense, but I'm just taking a little bit of a step back. He's since sort of course corrected that, but I'm not just going to ignore that you said what you said at Big Ten Media Days. So I'm envisioning a scenario, like, for example, last year against Illinois, they get behind and they pretty much, partially because they, you know, it wasn't working, they weren't running the ball well, they pretty much abandoned the run game against Illinois last year, right? They did it super fast. And when we asked them about it afterwards, they said, well, we were behind. So what happens when that happens again? What happens when a few of Mark Whipple's pet play calls don't pan out and we come to a crucial third down or a crucial red zone situation? Both of those guys are on the headset. I think that right now, during fall camp, and pretty much since Whipple has gotten here, it seemed like a pretty frictionless marriage. Everything's blending together well. Oh, I love watching Mark Whipple's offense bloom. I wrote about this. It's going to be in the special section. Frost trusts Whipple, right, to take the lion's share of the offensive programming, of the offensive play calling, of the offensive install. What happens, though, when they hit some adversity, just like with the rest of the team? What happens when Scott isn't satisfied with the way the offense is working? That is a question that I believe is worth asking. Again, I'm not trying to drum up too much controversy here. This is not the biggest concern for me. It's not even a big concern for me. But it is something that lies in the back of my head when I hear Scott's correcting reporters at Big Ten Media Day asking him why, or, you know, what it's like to not be involved in the offense anymore. That's notable to me when he says it's sad. You know, I believe him when he says it's sad to give it up, because that is what he's made his name and reputation on as a coach. I think he was a co-defensive coordinator and a linebackers coach at Northern Iowa, but pretty much ever since then, he was a wide receivers coach at Oregon. And then he's been calling plays for like the last 10 years, since 2013, as an offensive coordinator or as a head coach. That's a really difficult transition to make. It's easier to project comfortability and confidence in that situation when it hasn't really been taken out of his hands yet. It has, but it hasn't. It's the first time that will happen for realsies is in Ireland, when Mark Whipple's actually calling the plays. So let's just see how that unfolds.
Mine, other than the offensive line, because I do think that's the most concerning, but I'll say to the other side of the line of scrimmage, how does Nebraska hold up against the run? I don't know that I feel super confident that they're able to do that over the long haul, you know, partly because of the teams that they play, the Michigans, the Wisconsins, the Iowas, the Minnesotas. They're all going to be pounding that line. And you know, you look at how is Nebraska going to stop that? What do we know? We know Ty Robinson is back and is pretty good. But beyond that, what does Stephen Wynn look like with full-time duty? You know, he was a rotational guy for most of his career at Alabama. Devin Drew, is he up to speed? This is a different challenge in the Big Ten than what he's used to in the Big 12 with Texas Tech. You know, O'Shawn Mathis, for all of his accomplishments, like his bread and butter is rushing the passer. But what happens when Wisconsin pounds at you 4 out of 5 times? Is he able to hold up physically and able to be an asset stopping the run as much as he is against the pass? And so, you know, there's just a lot of question marks there. I wonder how much depth there really is. I mean, again, you're leaning on a couple of transfers who are stepping into bigger roles later in their career. Does Nash Huttmacher take that next step? Masai Newsom? Maybe. And again, I just think when you look at, if I were an offensive coordinator in the Big Ten and I looked at Nebraska, I'm running 4 out of 5 times until they prove to me that they can stop it. That's just how it's going to be. And I think Nebraska's going to have to prove that. And I just don't know how smooth that's going to be initially. So the real, we solved all the problems. We identified everything for Nebraska right there. And you laid this one out too, Sam. The starter that we think won't be starting by the end of the year, which is sort of an interesting thought exercise, because you can think of it from the perspective of this guy, you know, wears down or whatever, is ineffective, or you could look at it from the other side and say, hey, there's a young guy or two who could emerge at this position as the year went on. Where did you guys go with this particular thought? Starter who won't be there, they're starting by the end of the year.
The guy that won't be starting by the end of the season.
Who is starting, presumably, in Ireland.
I'm going to go with one of the linemen. I don't know which one, but I think you're going to see some better options develop as the season goes on. So maybe looking at center, right guard. You know, if you move Corcoran to some other spot, then you have a new left guard. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Who do you think could step in? Who's not?
Henry Lutovsky, Ethan Piper. Piper's got some experience. Lutovsky. I think the way that Scott Frost is kind of shaping this thing, it's clearly going to be, you know, hey, we're not going to let a guy have four bad games in a row, especially if he's older. We're going to try these younger guys if we have a chance. So I think we're going to see some movement in the starting lineup on the offensive line. On the defense, and this isn't a knock, I just feel like you're going to see multiple different starters at nickel. I think Isaac Gifford might get the first time out there, but Chris Kolarvik and Javon Wright are outstanding athletes. And so I just feel like there's going to be some movement at nickel as well. Not because Gifford wouldn't play well, but I think you're going to see a lot of movement there. And Gifford may not even get the first start. It might be Kolarvik. We'll just see.
What do you think, Jimmy?
Sorry, I keep muting myself, and then I'm trying to do other things while we're on the podcast. And
yeah, we're going to have to get to this breaking basketball news in a minute, so let's wrap this up.
Breaking – all right, we can break the news if you want to, right? Keontae Johnson, former Florida basketball player.
We'll get there in a minute.
Going to be – well, I just want – you know, we just teased it, so I'll just say that Keontae Johnson, the Florida transfer, is going to be visiting Nebraska this week. That's important. Right. He's averaged like 14 points per game a couple years ago. He was also the guy who collapsed on the court a couple years ago, had a heart situation, which, as we all know, Fred Hoiberg has a heart condition as well. I'm sure that's common ground for those two to build off of. Anyways, the guy who will not be starting on the football team, who may start the season, do we count the number two, whoever wins the number two tight end, as a starter?
No.
We don't?
No.
Okay. And I would point to Then I would point to whichever guy lines up as the second outside receiver the first week. I assume it's going to be Omar Manning. I realize I just drafted Omar Manning relatively early in our fantasy draft. I just think that that's a room with the way that Mickey Joseph approaches coaching. It's kind of like Travis Fisher. We're like, this is a season-long competition. Like, nothing is Mickey just used the phrase, the cliche, that the depth chart is written in sand, and I believe that is going to remain that way for much of the season. So honestly, it doesn't matter who it is, whether that's Omar Manning, whether that's Marcus Washington, whether that's Oliver Martin, whoever that guy is, come the first snap in Ireland, decent chance that role could change maybe a couple times during the season, just because I think that there's a lot of guys that can, I'm not saying that this is an otherworldly talented receiver, but I think there's a lot of guys after Trey Palmer who are kind of closely bunched together talent wise. And I think that Mickey Joseph is not afraid to yank a guy, sort of like Sam was saying about the line. If you're not doing what he wants you to do, he's not afraid to yank you. So I think that there could be, a couple changes in that wide at that spot over the course of the year. And we need to keep in mind that Omar Manning is a guy who's been nicked up in the past. Oliver Martin is a guy who's been nicked up in the past. So for those reasons, I'll take that second receiver spot.
Okay. That's good. I'm going to do safety. I think somebody at safety gets unseated, whether that's, you know, Omar Brown, who ends up making that push and starting late, or somebody else.
Deshaun Singleton at that spot.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe Deshaun Singleton. And they have two guys that they like, and it would be a departure from what we've seen Travis Fisher do in the secondary previously, where they have stuck with veterans like Markell Dismuke and Deontay Williams and just rode with those guys until injuries or whatnot would crop up. But it seems to me, just from the chatter we've heard in camp, that you know, four guys are deserving of playing time, of starts potentially. I just think there's opportunity there for somebody to take an opportunity early in the season, maybe as a reserve in a game, and take a starting job and run with that. So again, I don't know who that would be. We presume the starters will be Miles Farmer and Marquise Buford. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I just think there's a lot of depth there that we'll see somebody sort of shift into that new role as the year goes on. You want to talk about that Hoops news anymore?
Yeah, let's do it. Just a little bit. Yeah. I think it's...
Sure. So again, Keontae Johnson, former Florida transfer, averaged, I believe, 14 points and around 7 rebounds per game a couple seasons ago, 2019-20 season. Had the heart scare, collapsed on the court, hasn't been playing much since then. Highly sought after transfer. It's kind of strange for this to be happening this late in the process. This was not on my radar, so I haven't done a ton of background on Keontae Johnson. I can tell you that the Nebraska basketball team is capped at the scholarship limit right now, so that if Keontae Johnson were to join the team and play this year, that would mean someone's on their way out. I don't know who that would be. I could venture a few guesses, but I don't want to recklessly speculate about that sort of thing. And it would be a big time. This would be something that could ease some of my concerns, or ease some of my worry about what is my greatest concern on the roster right now, which is scoring juice. Keontae Johnson has scored at a decent clip in a high major setting, which is something that basically no one on this roster can say right now. CJ Wilcher is the closest thing to that, and he's mostly just a spot-up shooter. He's a good spot-up shooter, a deadly spot-up shooter, but Keontae Johnson, it would bring a scoring punch that I'm don't think is on the roster right now. It would be a big add, a big, big add.
Yes, it would. There are ways, obviously, to manage scholarship numbers with the NIL now, but I don't anticipate Keontae being a guy that wouldn't be on scholarship. So you'd have to maneuver those things. Obviously, school is about to start. So if he's visiting this week, maybe even today, chances are good if he picks Nebraska. I saw Jeff Goodman, who talks to handlers a lot, said it was Nebraska, and it was who else here? Nebraska, Kansas State, and
Western Kentucky's been in the mix too, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I wouldn't describe any of those teams as teams that can turn down a player who potentially could play. Fred Hoiberg knows a lot about. So Johnson's situation was initially attached to COVID, and later on his family said his COVID-19 positive test diagnosis, he was COVID positive prior to collapsing on the court, I think, but they said that wasn't connected to this situation, that this was an issue that was separate of that thing. So he collapsed, I think, before even correct me if I'm wrong. I think he collapsed before vaccines were available.
I believe did that's he not? Correct. Yes. Yeah, I believe yeah. So
December 2020, he played four games that season.
Four games. So, yeah.
So yeah, this isn't a, you know, his family says it wasn't related to that. He was in the hospital for 10 days. And he hasn't really played a basketball game since then. He dribbled on the court against Kentucky,
right?
One game, but it's, I mean, you know, Nebraska can't really say no. They have to try to find all options. Now, you don't want to speculate, Jimmy, and I get that. But let me ask you at least this question. Because it just happened to Creighton, right?
Right.
Creighton just had a player who was actually a pretty important player toward the end of last season, kind of a spark plug and an emotional leader, right. Rati. He goes back home to his home country. He's going to play pro there. And he just did that. He just announced that yesterday. In theory, Nebraska has a few guys on their roster who could choose to pursue similar contracts. Yes.
Yeah. You look at Keisei Tominaga as one guy who has shined playing for the Japanese national team and almost assuredly could have opportunities to play professionally in his home country. And not only that, but he's basically, I view him as being in a position battle, so to speak, a rotation spot battle with Jamarcus Lawrence. They do similar things. They're both very good shooters. They both are similar size. I view them as in direct competition for playing time. And Casey's been gone for a good chunk of that summer summer portion. So Jamarcus had a lot of time to make his case to the coaches. So I could see that being an option. Oleg Kolyanets is another international guy who hasn't played at all since he arrived at Nebraska last year. And I don't foresee him playing much this year. So whether he wanted to enter the portal or go back home, that's another guy who could be on the outs. If Keontae Johnson is a guy that Nebraska wants to add, it should also be mentioned that it's awfully coincidental for Keontae Johnson for the news to break that Keontae Johnson is visiting Nebraska to come the same week that they hired a new assistant coach.
That's right.
So I would venture to guess, I mean, we're going to talk to Ernie Ziegler for the first time today in about an hour and a half. I would venture to guess there's a connection between those two events there.
That's a pretty good guess. Why did he leave Mississippi State?
He was, well, Ben Holland was fired. So okay. if we want to talk about that, Ernie, the thing, it's a
Ben great Holland was fired by Mississippi State. And so this guy did not have a job.
Correct. And that's what I think it's a great hire for Nebraska. Ernie Ziegler is a great hire for Nebraska. He's got good recruiting connections, a strong base, particularly in Michigan and Illinois, but also good connections in Texas and California, where we know there's a bunch of talent. I don't know that it says like a ton about like, oh, this great trajectory that the program is on. I think it's very possible that Ernie Ziegler just needed a job. He's worked for Ben Howland for 12 of his 22 years in college basketball. Ben Howland doesn't appear to be landing somewhere else during this. He's still not a coach anywhere as of this recording. So it's possible that the guy just needed a job. Regardless of why he's here, it's a great hire. He helped put together those UCLA teams that went to consecutive Final Fours during the mid-2000s. And he didn't recruit a guy like Russell Westbrook, but he's got connections with a guy like Russell Westbrook, Darren Collison, Luke Richard and Mbamute, Aaron Afualo, all these guys who served significant stints in the NBA. You could argue, I don't think you could argue against that Nebraska has never had more NBA connections than it does right now between Fred working with the Timberwolves and the Bulls, assistant coach Nate Lenzer working with Fred on the Bulls staff, and now Ziegler with all these guys that he's put in the league. So that's always been a part of Hoiberg's identity. It's always been a selling point for him. Hey, we know how to get you to the NBA. That selling point just became stronger with this hire. But again, he may have just needed a job, but we're going to learn more about why he took the job in an hour and a half, but it's entirely possible that Ernie Ziegler just wanted a good high major Division I college basketball job. And Nebraska, for all the faults and all the ugly losses that they have suffered under Hoiberg, it is still a good job. Perspective is everything.
Well, sure. I'll be curious to see what he's paid. That'll be interesting to me.
And I would guess that you're not getting a guy like this unless it's a 2-year contract, which is the standard for most assistants. I would be very surprised. Like, I mean, Fred is essentially on a year-to-year deal at this point, right? But I would be surprised if they were able to land a guy like this without giving him a little bit more security than that.
Yeah, I would be curious to see what he's paid.
Yeah. Yep. My guess would be he's the top paid assistant.
Based on his experience, he ought to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, pretty clearly, he ought to be the top paid assistant. I would describe this guy as the replacement for Matt Abdelmassi. I know Adam Howard technically did that, but
right.
Adam Howard is a scheme guy and a X's and O's. I mean, everybody kind of knows what his calling card is, and maybe he can recruit some, but he's there to make the team better on those fronts. Ziegler's got a recruiting profile, you know, and you talked to Ben Howland, and Ben Howland was very honest. Now, Ben Howland's a hell of a recruiter. I mean, he can recruit. Ben Howland was a great recruiter at a lot
ben
of
Howland
different
put, Ben Howland he's put a together two person,
but he's sure. a good recruiter.
He put together two top 16 recruiting classes at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do.
Yeah, Howland leveraged Adidas quite well.
For sure.
So I know that Adidas and Howland were always close, and he was able to attract players at UCLA, which used to have an Adidas contract. The Mississippi State, I believe, is Adidas as well. So he's always been pretty tight there, but you still got to be tight. And Howland's always been a good recruiter. So I'm at this guy, to me, strikes me as an addition that not only helps you on the court, but gets you in some living rooms that maybe you wouldn't have been in. And, you know, Jimmy, I'm not the basketball expert here. You're the beat writer. But I followed this stuff really closely for a long time. And I just feel like Nebraska can recruit better players. Now, this particular recruiting class seems pretty good. Some of the guys coming in right at this moment. But I just don't. I don't feel like I've seen enough guys on their roster that I would describe freshmen, guys coming from high school. They just haven't had enough, you know, guys other than Bryce, who you would describe as just whatever. And Bryce is while a wonderful, wonderfully skilled basketball player, was not going to give you he was not a plus in the grit category. And Nebraska, I think, has to play way tougher if they're going to ever have much success in the Big Ten. You have to play very tough. And I just don't know that Nebraska's put a lot of tough teams out there since they joined the league. I really don't, including Fred's teams.
I don't think that you can make much argument against that with Fred's teams. Too much talk, particularly last year, about, you know, well, we hit a wall, or, we let the circumstances of the game dictate our energy, or, you know, we were missing shots and we let it affect us on the other side of the court. That's stuff you can control. That's mental toughness. That's effort, all of the above. And as we've talked about before, I think this team, the team that they've built so far here, is better equipped to withstand scoring lulls or momentum swings or whatever's going to happen adversely impact them on the court. But what they need is a little more punch, a little more juice. And Keontae Johnson, in theory, I mean, the guy hasn't played, he's played basically 4 basketball games since 2019-20, which was the year that Fred Hoiberg took over the program. So I don't think you can expect him to be the exact same guy he was before then. I think that's a little bit unfair, but we at least have evidence that he is capable of providing a little bit of scoring juice, a little bit of scoring punch. And that is the one category they're sorely lacking in right now.
Well, it never ends, right? So we got some basketball intrigue. Right. Football is in about a week. Sam, are we talking to you in Ireland next week? Or are we going to see you when you get back to the States for the next Pick 6?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I can probably get on a Zoom, but at this moment, Evan, I would count on trying to do your Pick Six podcast potentially without me, because if you were to do it at this time, like, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Maybe if we do it later in the week. I know Nebraska is going to have practice access Wednesday and Thursday. So maybe a Friday one or a late Thursday one. I'm 6 hours ahead of you. And so I'll be writing my stories in the evening in Ireland. I'll have my mornings relatively free, and then I'll be writing in the afternoons and the evenings in Ireland and sending the stuff back. So it'll be fun. It's going to be a long trip over there. And then we'll kind of have a day to acclimate, kind of get used to Dublin. Nebraska, I don't think, is going to do a ton on Tuesday. And then they're really going to get going, I think, Wednesday and Thursday. There'll be more. And then there's pep rally, I think, on Friday. So, you know, I think Nebraska is ready on a lot of different fronts. But I still think they want to get there. They want to be there. Their hotel is like 35 to 40 minutes away from the practice fields, which is less than ideal. And I don't know anything about Dublin traffic. You can always read things about cities and their traffic, but it isn't until you get there that you really experience it. And you can make statements like, the worst traffic I've ever been in, it was in Washington, D.C., which it was, versus what everyone will tell you, which is L.A.'s got the worst traffic. Well, I've been there many times, and it was never as bad as the times I was in D.C. So you have to be someplace before you actually know how bad the traffic is. But I'm curious how a, you know, really old city like Dublin is laid out, and how the team buses function in that space, driving 40 minutes from a hotel out of town into the practice field. So we'll see.
Well, we're looking forward to the international dispatches from our extended bureau way out there. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk to you next week. We're definitely going to see some football in about a week. It's going to be fun. So we'll end it at that. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Jimmy, for
we'll Sam. Leave it at that.
Well, yeah.
The next time I see you again, I will be in Ireland. Hopefully I don't get stopped or something in customs or something, but I'll see you in Ireland.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a safe trip. For anyone who's going, hope you enjoy it. Try Guinness, do whatever. We'll talk to you later.